This is awesome, man. You know, I feel like a real disc jockey today. You know, it brings me back to my college radio days. You know, I love that song, Give Me What's Left of Your Love. It isn't my favorite Freeloader song, though. My favorite Freeloader song is 10 Songs Make an Album. I think I've told you that before, you told me the whole story about that. You had 9 songs, and you had to write one, and you did. Yeah. And you wrote it, and you gave me the... That was on the... this song, Give Me What's Left of Your Love, is on Freeloader 2, right?
That's right.
And 10 songs making albums from the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
I saw Freeloader at the Middle East. It was probably about a year and a half ago now. Jim Ginoda on drums, Charles Hanson, lead guitar, Jim Haggerty. Yeah. Dude, can you get a better band than that together? And you, of course. Can you get a better band than that together?
Well, we now have John Sheeran on bass, and he's pretty
good.
I don't think it's I don't think it diminishes the lineup at all.
No, John Sheeran, another great. There's some good musicians in Boston.
There really are.
John Charles, I was going to talk about for a minute. His guitar playing, man, he's got to be one of the best guitar players around here. Period.
Yep.
Yeah. Does he work in a music store? He used to, and he just...
I don't know if Charles... Oh, well, he did own... Yeah, yeah. They had Cambridge Music for years.
Yeah, and then he gave lessons.
Yeah, I think he still gives lessons. Yeah. If you got somebody who needs to learn guitar, Charles Hanson will do a pretty good job. He teaches at Berkeley, though.
Oh, he does?
That's his main job.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because he's such a good guitar player. Yeah. The Middle East show was crazy because it was still kind of academic, pandemic. Uh-huh. It's like an academic now, the pandemic. And two bands canceled. Right? Like literally the day before, I can't remember, Tiger Bomb was one, I can't remember the other. But there still was a good crowd there. And I remember John Pajita came down and at the last minute and did a set.
That was really cool.
But what was impressive is that there still was a lot of people there. You still had a good crowd. So that means that, you know, Freeloaders... crowd showed up regardless of the fact that the two other bands had to cancel.
Yeah, that was actually a record release for Freeloader 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys were great. I've been putting up photos this week on my Instagram and Facebook page that I took that night. I don't know if you noticed that.
I saw that picture that you sent, with the announcement for
You cut your own head off, I noticed.
Well, there was, you know, I was either cut the text or my head, so I had to auto decapitate on that one.
It was good, though, because you made a joke out of it. People dug the joke, the headless, I got to talk to you about, first of all, Freeloader, something that you mentioned that I really thought was incredible is that you guys did that remotely. You weren't even together when you recorded it.
Yeah.
Was that really hard for you to do at that time?
Yeah, Freeloader 2 was done remotely. The first record was pre-pandemic. And the second one was done, sending tracks back and forth. And,
the track we just played was basically from the second record. So that one was done, Give Me What's Left of Your Love, was done remotely.
Yeah, so, I mean, we did record Ginoda's drums at Peter Moore's studio, I think, which is also here in Meffa, if I'm not mistaken. Meffa.
Oh, you say it right.
Right, yeah.
Or the way the hockey players say it from Medford.
But, but aside from the drums being recorded with me and Jim together in the room, the rest was just sending it back and forth. Send it to Jim Haggerty, he put his bass on. Send it to Charles Hanson, and he put his guitar on. And then we send it out to Paul Coldery, and he mixed it.
Paul Coldery. Yeah. Well, if you're going to get someone to mix your record, you might as well get the best, right?
Yep.
You know what I wanted to ask you, since about, correct me if I'm wrong on the time here, since about 2019, you've been like a machine releasing records, both solo and the Freeloader records. Did you go through like a surge of inspiration and write a lot of songs during that period, or some of these songs older songs?
I put out I started working with Ducky Carlisle in end of 18 into 19, and made 3 records with him in almost a year span.
The solo records.
Yeah, well, the first Freeloader, and two solo records.
Okay.
And working with him was great. You know, I could just I ended up monopolizing his time for like a year or more, and we had a little band we played out. We called it No Brainer.
Did he play drums?
He played drums. He was an amazing drummer. Ducky, sadly, is gone now. There's going to be a benefit, or not a, I don't know if it's a benefit.
Tribute
it's,
show.
It's a memorial show for him at the.
Are you going to play?
I'm going to play, yeah.
It's in August, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the date, but I did see something about that. It looks like an incredible tribute.
Brighton Music Hall. And I can actually look up the date, but keep talking. This is radio here.
I was curious about the songwriting because there are so many songs.
It's August 11th at Brighton Music Hall is the Ducky Carlisle Memorial.
And for people out there listening around the world or whatever, Ducky Carlisle is a very famous engineer, musician here in the Boston, was in the Boston area, who's got a great track record of playing with tons of people like Nat. So,
and recording tons of people.
Yeah. Great engineer.
Great engineer, producer. Yep.
The surge of songs.
You know, I think it was weird. It might have had something to do with the fact that the upper crust stopped and I got sober and suddenly it was weird because I expected that at that point I probably would stop making music, but instead I've started making more and more.
So. Yeah, you're like a machine. It's like, that's why I was really surprised. I didn't know you had a new record, and then I got an email and went on Bandcamp and listened to it. By the way, if you're out there listening, I pretty much, even I've seen an Upper Crust compilation on Bandcamp, but most of your stuff's on Bandcamp now. Well,
yeah,
not the old stuff, but not. I don't know. Did you put the flies in the Titanics?
I put the flies up there and the Titanics.
So everything's up there.
Pretty much everything. Yeah, I might have edited out some songs that I really didn't like in retrospect or something.
Why is there something in the back of my brain that's saying Clam Diggers? Clam Diggers.
There's the Clam Diggers. Unfortunately, didn't record that much, but I do have some Clam Diggers recordings on the Bandcamp page.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
Who was in the Clam Diggers again?
That was Jim Ginota on drums, me on guitar, and Dave Fredette on guitar, and Ted Widmer, who was the other songwriter front guy, and Mark Mazzarelli played
bass. Ted was originally Upper Crust guy?
Ted Widmer was not Upper Crust.
Who was that guy that was in the Upper Crust for a little while at the beginning?
That was Mark Mazzarelli.
Mark Mazzarelli, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, what am I talking about? Ted was in the
Upper Crust. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't know. Ted, let me retract.
He's the one that went to school with Conan, right? He went to school with Conan O'Brien,
yeah,
right?
I'm going
to
retract the last minute of me saying a bunch of bull. And, Ted Widmer. And Mark, the whole Clam Diggers just morphed into the Upper Crust originally as a joke.
Don't feel bad.
The Clam Diggers was already a joke, and then we thought it would be even funnier if we did the Upper Crust
to put wigs on.
Yeah, and then it just kept going. Yeah.
And you know, don't feel bad about your confusion because this show's based largely on certain amounts of confusion from the host, especially.
Well, you know, you're dealing with, like, you know, pretty old guys here, so.
Yeah. Believe me, I know. If we were both talking about what we were doing in 1984 musically, 40 years ago, oh my God.
Yep.
40 years ago.
Yeah.
Did we mention we were both 6 years old when we started in 1984, Mike?
It's very, very believable.
You
I
weren't
believe
born.
You.
You weren't born, Mike.
What year? What
Mike
year?
Newman's on the mic now.
What year wasn't I born?
1984.
Oh, I was born. I'm a 62 child.
Whoa.
I'm pretty old.
You're very youthful.
I still act like a child, too.
He's wearing a Berlin Airlift shirt. That gave it away right there.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we're once again going off track like I like to do. So, talk about the new record. Let Yourself Go. Great songwriting. Okay, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because it's been a trend that's been happening, but you seem to be mellowing out a little bit with your songwriting. Is that a fair assumption? Like,
yeah.
The songs are getting mellower.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as we already, you know, as we already mentioned, you know, I'm not that young anymore, so
do you think
I'm not, like, you know, all full of adrenaline and wanting to play really fast, hard rock and roll at this point. So, yeah, I'm exploring a bunch of. I was locked into the upper crust for like 20 some years.
Wow.
So I had to play like hard rock, and it all had to be on this one kind of theme, and be kind of comedic. And though a lot of these songs are still kind of comedic or have a little kind of edge to them in that direction, there was just so many other kinds of music to make that I, you know.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not a good thing.
I'm using the time I have here to try to explore some new directions.
You know, I saw the Upper Crust a lot because I remember, must have been around 99, you guys did like this tour down the East Coast, and you brought a band that I was working with, Caged Heat, with you.
Oh, yeah.
So I was
there. They
were
fucking awesome. Oh, excuse me. They were awesome. bleep that out.
That was bound to happen. Well, just, I didn't quite hear the whole word. Anyway, I mean, some of those shows were in legendary venues, too. And I remember the Coney Island High show, especially, because
mm-hmm.
the Real McKenzies were on the bill.
Oh, they were
amazing,
too.
Yeah, it was a great
too.
Show. It was Upper Crust, Real McKenzies,
Bagpipes,
and Caged Heat.
Bagpipes
yeah.
out of Canada, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys had, like, a great following. And it was Philly, D.C., New Jersey, and New York, I believe, were the four shows I saw.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw you guys a bunch of times in Boston as well. And it was very heavy. So I can understand that you're kind of like slowing it down a little bit. But do you, the songwriting is kind of like, I don't know, what's your inspiration these days for writing?
Pretty much anything that comes to mind. I just sit down with a guitar, and if a musical idea comes, I see where it goes and then try to tack some words on it. I'm never, you know, but I do have a couple of thematic directions that I've gone, like this record that we're talking about now, Let Yourself Go. The working title for it was Counterfeit Soul, because I was just, you know, I think I was just listening to the radio, to some old soul music, and started writing songs in that vein. And then eventually, and the record took a long time to make, to really come together. So over the course of 4 years, I had an album's worth of these songs that kind of sounded like old soul songs. So.
And you put them on the side while you released your other records?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was the theme that kept on developing until it had to have its own record. So.
What was your recording process? Because I know you mentioned to me the last time we got together that you started doing a lot in your home studio.
Yeah. This record started with remote collaboration with Jim Haggerty and Chris Anzalone.
Chris played drums on this.
Yeah. They were the rhythm section for like four or five songs, and then the rest were done with Ed Velauskas on bass and Jim Janota on drums. So, excuse me. We have two different rhythm sections on this, but it was done,
two really good rhythm sections.
It was done over a long time. So, like, the remote collaboration began still during the tail end of the pandemic, and then we went into Mad Oak in Alston with Brian Charles, with Anzalone and Jim Haggerty, and laid down basics for some songs. And then it took like a year before I did the basics with Janota and Velauskas at Q Division, and it just took a long time to come together, but Brian Charles kind of guided it over the last few months, and we went into his new studio, Rare Signals, in Cambridge, and brought in, like, Tom West on keyboards, and, yeah.
I know this is a familiar theme of this conversation, but those are two unbelievable rhythm sections that you had there. Ed V is like one of the best around. Chris Anzalone, he's like plays with everybody. We know about Jim and Jim Haggerty. I mean, these guys are like,
yeah,
you're just getting top-notch guys.
Yeah, it would be really hard to make a bad record with these guys.
That's a good point.
And then we had Duke Levine come in and just blow the roof off.
Oh, excuse
me. Yeah. Duke Levine, one of them. You know,
who's on the road with Bonnie Raitt?
With Bonnie Raitt.
Wow. Worcester guy.
There are so many good musicians here in Boston, and I just love the idea that an old, like, uneducated punk rocker like myself can get to play with these people and have my song ideas turned into things that really sound like songs.
It was hard for me to pick songs to play from this record because there's so many good ones, but I'm going to play The Meaning of Love, and I was just, is there anything about this song that you want to share with us before we listen to it?
This was like the second song done in remote collaboration during pandemic times with Haggerty and Anzalone. And then, you know, during the mixing process, we added a couple, we sweetened it up a little bit and remixed it with Brian Charles, but it's one of the earlier compositions.
All right, so from the new album, Let Yourself Go, this is called The Meaning of Love.
When it seemed like misfortune was all that came my way, didn't have no money and I had no place to stay. I came to you and you did not turn me away. And I had no peace of mind. Seemed like my friends moved on and left me here behind. Well, life had no meaning, but you showed me how to find.
Meaning of Love. That's good, man. I see what you mean. It's like really like kind of Motowny, almost soulful. You know, it's like we were talking while the song was playing. So the horn section and all that, was that Brian's idea?
Yeah. Well, Brian, that was kind of cool the way that happened. Like, you know, I didn't think I would be able to. I can't write music, so I couldn't chart for horns. But Brian said that's cool. I have software where we can just kind of enter it as MIDI notes, and it will turn it into readable music, because horn players don't like to play without a chart. So I just went home and like sang some things into my phone voice notes. We came back and put it in the computer as MIDI notes, and then it spat out charts for the horn players. And
The other thing I noticed, the background vocals.
Yeah, we had, well, a lot of that is my fake background vocals, because I did a lot of fake falsetto backup vocals at home, and then we had a couple of backup singers come in too.
So Brian also found some background singers. Yeah. Wow, it sounded really good.
Brian works with everybody in town, so he knows everybody and can get anybody in there.
So right now, Let Yourself Go is pretty much available digital. You can buy it on Bandcamp. I'm sure it's up on all the streaming.
It will be. I haven't quite put it up yet, but then...
Like, we're literally talking a release date of what, like yesterday or something? A
couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just me deciding, okay, it's mastered. I now have an image I can put up, because you need a photograph to put it on Bandcamp. So, you know, and then I sat there for a couple of weeks and went, okay, well, I guess I got to put it up, and I did it.
You mentioned earlier that you rehearsed with Freeloader. Is there going to be any live shows with this new record with a different band, or how would you do that?
I've been trying to figure out how I would do that. Like, I'd love to have Tom West on keyboards and Duke Levine on guitar and the horn players and some backups, but that would be a major undertaking to try to schedule all those people and get them all in one place when there was availability. And I mean, it's hard enough.
You made a major record, though. This is really, the sound is like so. Gee, when you think about where you started and where you are now, it's really incredible. You know.
I know. Well, I'm really happy with the way this record turned out. And, you know, Brian Charles did help definitely give it energy and focus at the end and brought it together. Because I'd been working on it for so long, I was kind of frazzled. I was like, oh.
This is while you were working on the other things, too, and putting out other records.
Yeah, yeah. But this was a long-lasting obsession. I was so glad to be done with it. It was amazing. It took so long to make this record, but it came out really good.
It did. It did. It's called Let Yourself Go. Great record. Thanks, man, for coming on. I know this was like a last-minute thing. It's I love talking to you, man, because you have a great story. You know, you've done so much. You know, and when I say Boston rock royalty, I'm not like just throwing out a phrase, because you've been doing it for a long time. We've already put the 4-0 number out there enough times, so
yeah.
You've been at it for a while. I'm sure you're far from over, too. You probably have.
I got a couple more things in the, a couple more projects. I've already done, put down drums with Janota at my house for what's going to be a psychedelic record. Like, it's going to sound like kind of early British psychedelia.
Songs?
Yeah, they're all my songs.
Wow. Is there going to be another Freeloader record?
Yeah, there's another Freeloader's. Like, we have, I mean, as we all know, it takes 10 songs to make an album.
It certainly does.
But like six solid ones there, yeah.
I'm not going to ask about the Clam Diggers reunion, but there is some people in the Peanut Gallery that are probably saying, what about the Upper Crust? Are they done for good?
Oh, I don't know, you know. We don't have immediate plans on that, but you never say never to anyone.
Yeah, and all the guys in the band are all still doing a lot of stuff. You know, Chris is always out there doing stuff, and the other guys.
Chris Cody is very active.
Dave plays with Eric Martin, you know?
Yeah, Eric Martin and Steve Morrell. Yeah, they've got a great thing happening. You can catch them around.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're really good. Steve was the original drummer of the Del Fuegos.
The Del Fuegos, yeah. And he's a great drummer. And they're tight, too. They've had a residency at the Midway for months now.
So
they're
cool.
They're very tight and very good.
Yeah, Eric Martin, you know, I'm a huge Neats fan. That's a band we didn't mention from your era in the 80s. You probably played with them a lot.
That was a band. That was part of that 80s scene. They were a big part of that. And Eric has just an unforgettable voice. And he's like... He has not aged. His voice is still perfect. He still looks the same. It's amazing.
Same with you, man. Your voice sounds great. You've aged marvelously. I don't get to use that word very much.
Like a good cheese.
But thank you, man, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me. Always happy to be here.
We're going to play another song, too, in a second. But thank you, Mike Newman, and the people here at WMFO for letting us do this live. Please listen to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast. Comes out every week, sometimes twice a week, wherever you listen to podcasts. By the way, I want to mention that there's a show I mentioned it earlier going on today, if you're listening live. It's called The Party on the Porch. It's at Medford at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, really good bands playing over there. Diablo Gato, Dogmatics. They're never going to stop playing. Girl with a Hawk and the Screaming Rebel Angels. All right, so let's see. We're going to play the song You Really Let Yourself Go. Thank you for listening. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive.
Control. You really let yourself go. 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 There was a time you dressed so fine. You used to cast a spell. You used to look ever so divine. But now no one could ever tell. You hardly care to comb your hair. Don't even tie your shoes. Eyes are glazed, you look half crazed, you smell like a bottle of booze. You really let yourself go. Really let yourself go. Really let yourself go.
WMFO Medford. I'm Mike. It's 10:33 in the morning. I want to thank Steve and Nat very much for doing that live podcast right in the middle of the show. I've got a little less than a half hour to go. I got some new noise to play for you from a band from Seacoast, New Hampshire called The Oars. This is brand new from them called Anemone right here at WMFO in Medford.
Dripping off a moonbeam. You don't know what you do to me, do you? It never gets old, swimming in your ecstasy. The feeling that you get to me, thank you. taste you like a sin. Wanna hurt you like a lover. Again, again, again. Wanna move you like a tidal wave. Like you come crashing in. Wanna hurt you like a lover. Again, again, again. Again, again, again. Again, again, again. Again, again, again.
Tufts Freeform Radio. WMFO, Medford.
Have mercy on my ears, will you?
Thank you.
10:55 in the morning here at WMFO Medford. I'm Mike. How you doing? Kirsten's coming up with something about the women in five. But before that, let me tell you what I play, and I got one more song for you. That was a remix of Crystal Canyon. Linda Mandolin was nice enough to send it to me. That was Catatonia, a C. Money Burns remix. Yeah, thank you, Linda. White Rabbit Object was just before that with their track called Keep You Like a Secret. Wells was next with their single called If I Keep Drifting. Carole King, of course, second song in a set from a collection called A Beautiful Collection, Best of Carole King. That was Ben to Canaan. And The Oars from the Seacoast, New Hampshire, their brand new self-titled record, that was Anemone. All right, I'm going to play one more for you from the Shanghai Lows, their brand new single. This is Morganatic Panic, and we'll be back with Kirsten right after this at WMFO. Do Run Run.
It's a little bit of pop there.
Yeah, right here at WMFO Medford. I'm Mike. I'm out of here. Thank you so much for listening. That was Morganatic Panic, the brand new one from Shanghai Lows. Love that. And it's just about 11 a.m. here at WMFO Medford, and that means it's time for Something About the Women. And today it's you. It's Kirsten.
Yes, yes. And I want to shout out to Sue because you played some Carole King, so she's going to love you for that.
I did. Well, she already did love me. How could she not?
That's true.
Just yeah, but Carole King brings the love
more.
Out.
Yes.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.